Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Everybody wants to be your man.
Make room, indie rockers. There are cowboys in Brooklyn. I'm John Schaefer, and today on Soundcheck, Brooklyn is known as a hub for rock bands, but it turns out there are dozens of country bands there, too, and even a country music festival. We'll hear one of the local bands, The Flanks, playing live in our studio, and we'll get the view from an expert in Nashville.
What in the world is happening? What in the world could this be?
Later in the show, Susie and the Banshees were contemporaries of the Sex Pistols and the Clash on London's vibrant late 70s punk scene, and they influenced The Cure, Tricky, and any band within 10 miles of the goth genre. Frontwoman Susie Sue joins us to talk about her first solo album in a 30-year career. All of that on Soundcheck right after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Hurricane Felix is thundering over the border between Nicaragua and Honduras. Top winds are measured at 120 miles per hour. That's down from much stronger winds yesterday, clocked at 160 miles per hour. Meteorologist Dennis Feltgen of the National Hurricane Center says Felix will break up soon, but there's grave danger to local residents.
This is a very mountainous terrain that the remnants of Felix will be moving across, and that has a very high potential of life-threatening flash floods.
There are no reports of injuries, but many homes have been destroyed. The National Hurricane Center also reports Hurricane Henriette is descending on Mexico's Baja California. 7 people have died. Henriette is on track to reach northern Mexico and then the southwestern United States later this week. President Bush is in Sydney, Australia, ahead of a 3-day economic summit. He arrived early to meet with Australian Prime Minister John Howard. Howard has backed the U.S. invasion of Iraq despite strong opposition from Australians. NPR's Don Gagne, traveling with the president, says Howard's support of the U.S. military in Iraq has cost him.
Howard is facing a tough re-election fight, an election coming in just a few months, not scheduled yet, but possibly in November. And Iraq has become an issue in that election. The opposition leader is saying that troops should be pulled out of Iraq.
NPR's Don Gagne traveling with President Bush. 1,600 Australian troops are stationed in Iraq, part of them in combat roles. Many Australians want them to return home, but Prime Minister Howard insists they'll remain in Iraq. The Israeli Supreme Court today ordered the state to dismantle and rebuild a section of the barrier it's building in and around the West Bank to cause less harm to the residents of a Palestinian village. NPR's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
The court was responding to a petition brought by the residents of the West Bank village of Bil'in, which has been the site of frequent protests that have occasionally turned violent. The residents argued that the current route, built on land that belongs to the village, separates them from their fields and orchards on the other side of the barrier. The government of Israel had argued that the route was necessary to protect residents of a nearby Jewish settlement. In her decision, the president of the Supreme Court wrote that she was not convinced by the government's argument. She ordered that more than a mile of the barrier be torn down and the state come up with a new route. Residents in Bil'in celebrated, chanting, "We won," and vowing to continue fighting against the barrier. Linda Gradstein, NPR News, Jerusalem.
News reports say aviator and balloonist Steve Fawcett is missing. He was traveling in a light aircraft in Nevada. Fawcett has set records for his solo flights. The reports say his plane has been missing for nearly a day. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials are up 47 points. Currently, they're at 13,405. This is NPR.
This is WNYC. It's 82 degrees under sunny skies at 2:04. Mayor Bloomberg says the city has a plan just in case thousands of yellow cab drivers decide to walk off the job this week. The New York Taxi Workers Alliance is threatening to strike for 48 hours beginning at 5 a.m. tomorrow. The NYPD says extra police officers, some in plain clothes riding in cabs, will be patrolling the city tomorrow morning beginning at 4. They'll be at major transportation hubs and also taxi garages. Mayor Bloomberg and Chancellor Klein were joined by Governor Spitzer today for the start of the new school year. The politicians went to PS 53 in the Bronx, where they touted the $1 billion increase in school aid this year from the city and state. Ramel Mitchell was dropping off his 10-year-old stepson and says he hopes the funds go to buy more books.
You know, kids lose books a lot, so, you know, it's kind of costs money to generate more books for the kids.
The principal of PS 53 says his school is getting more than $400,000 extra this year. He's using it to pay for a band leader, professional development for teachers, and English as a second language classes for neighborhood parents. A disaster assistance service center will open in Flushing tomorrow, giving Queens residents affected by the flooding of August 8th the chance to talk to emergency management experts face-to-face. President Bush declared the borough a disaster area on Friday, opening the way for residents affected by the storm to apply for state and federal aid. Horticulturist Judy Zook has died. She was president of the Brooklyn Botanic Garden for more than 15 years, starting in 1990. She died Saturday after a long illness at the age of 55. Mainly clear tonight, low 63, partly sunny, and a high 78 tomorrow. 82 right now, WNYC at 206.
Support for NPR comes from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, promoting lifelong family connections for children and youth in foster care, on the web at aecf.org.
Just give it away. There ain't nothing in this house worth fighting over. Oh, and we're both tired of fighting anyway. So just give it away.
Watch out, George Strait. There is country music competition where you might least expect it, in Brooklyn, New York. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later on our show, punk pioneer Susie Sue joins us to talk about her first solo album. But we begin with country music. Country singer George Strait was just nominated last week as Entertainer and Male Vocalist of the Year by the Country Music Association. The King of Country, as some critics refer to him, is from Texas, which, of course, is one of the centers of country music in the nation. But it turns out that Brooklyn, known as a hub of indie rock, has a country music scene too. How good can it be? Well, in a moment, Brooklyn-based country band The Flanks plays live in our studio, and we'll get a view from Nashville as well. But we start with Alex Battles. He is the founder of the Brooklyn Country Music Festival, which is happening this week. Alex, welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So, country music in Brooklyn, in New York City. How? Why?
Well, I can only really speak for myself. I just started, I got this banjo when I was a kid. I inherited it from my grandfather. Started writing songs as kind of a happenstance thing after listening to a lot of Hank Williams. And when I got the banjo, I learned how to play it by playing along with Hank Williams records. So that was kind of the first thing I learned how to play on it. And then I kind of just started writing songs.
But you don't build a country music festival around yourself. You know, there has to be a sort of critical mass of other people who are interested. And Brooklyn seems to have this surprising, you know, hidden diversity of music, including country people.
About I guess it was 4 years ago, 2004, 2003, around that. A friend of mine named Leon, who runs a band called Uncle Leon the Outlaws, he sent out an email saying, I'm starting a website called brooklyncountry.com for all these country bands out there. And I knew some of them, but I didn't. There was a lot on there I didn't know. And I said, wow, this is great.
Well, now, New York, you know, does not have, among other things on the radio, a country radio station.
No, it doesn't.
This is not Nashville. This is not Texas. How is the country music that's being made, by and large, by you and your peers in Brooklyn, how is it different from what we're getting out of Nashville, for example?
I like to say that one of the things that I like about being able to make country music in a town without a country music station is that it actually happens kind of in a vacuum, in that nobody has ever come to one of my shows in Brooklyn and said, can you play that George Strait song that we just played, and I think that's probably the first time I heard it. So there's really no expectations as to what country music is to a New York audience. So it can kind of be whatever you'd like it to be. And if that's more classically based or influenced by any other genre of music, it can be.
So is that the case, that people in Brooklyn who are doing country music are doing a much older, kind of more acoustic, simpler, back-to-the-roots version of country?
It tends to be that way. Although they're all, like I would say, it's all original. A lot of original bands. People are writing songs. It's not just a bunch of cover bands.
Right.
But yeah, it definitely tends to be more of a roots-based sound.
Well, you know, there was, going back to the 60s, very strong bluegrass
tradition
Absolutely.
Here in New York City. So
and there still is.
Still is, yeah. So I guess maybe we shouldn't be so surprised to find all this country music happening in Brooklyn. Now, you're originally from Cleveland.
That's right.
But you didn't start doing all the country stuff till you got to Brooklyn.
No, I guess I was lonely for home or something.
and the band that you've put together in Brooklyn is called the Whiskey Rebellion.
That's
where,
right.
Where does that name come from?
It just sounded cool. A friend of mine suggested it to me, and there you go.
All right, let's hear a little bit. We're speaking with Alex Battles. He's the founder of the Brooklyn Country Music Festival later this week at Buttermilk and at Southpaw in Brooklyn's Park Slope. This song is called The Queen of Ogallala.
Casey and her mother took a room near Times Square. New York is a fine place to visit, but don't leave your daughter there. Take your daughter back to Nebraska. Don't leave her in this town. She's the queen of Ogallala, but the city will steal her crown.
Queen of Ogallala is a song from the Brooklyn-based country band The Whiskey Rebellion, led by Alex Battles, who is presenting the 4th Brooklyn Country Music Festival Thursday through Saturday at Southpaw and at Buttermilk, both in Park Slope on 5th Avenue. And we've been speaking with Alex, and I mean, you know, I'm a New Yorker and you're a New Yorker. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard for a New Yorker to claim to be a country music expert. So let's call a country music expert. Deborah Evans Price is the Nashville correspondent for Billboard magazine. Welcome back to Soundcheck, Deborah.
Thanks for having me back, John.
So bands out of Brooklyn doing, as Alex said, a more old-fashioned kind of traditional form of country music. Does that kind of thing stand a chance in Nashville and in the sort of country music broader marketplace?
You know, I would like to be optimistic and say that it does, and I think there's definitely an audience for it. But I think the major labels have tried to introduce that, you know, in a big way in the past with bands like BR549 in the 90s, who were wonderful and very critically acclaimed, but they never got that level of sales and success or radio airplay. There's a wonderful group called the Derailers that spent some time on a major label, and then now they're back on an independent. It's a great Texas-based, you know, rootsy band, very Buck Owens-influenced. So I think the major record companies have tried it, but it just, you know, as much as some people love it, and I'm one of those people who do, it just doesn't have the mass appeal of a George Strait or a Rascal Flatts or...
Or Keith like Urban or someone like that, yeah.
But these bands have gotten their shot.
So is it simply the fact that the pop influence in Nashville has done exactly what that word pop suggests, which is to make that particular stream of country much more dominant in the pop market?
Yes, I think it's easier to get things on country radio that are safer, that they're maybe not quite as... you know, left of center, not quite as rootsy. And that's not to say that there's not great traditional country music on country radio.
Right.
I mean, there are younger artists like Brad Paisley, who's gotten 5 CMA nominations for the awards in November, and he's a traditionalist, and he, you know, pays homage to great country artists like Bill Anderson and Little Jimmy Dickens and George Jones, who he's included on his last 3 records. So one of the things I love about Brad is he's made Little Jimmy cool to my 17-year-old son.
Uh-huh. Well, now, we started with a little bit of George Strait, and I mentioned that he had gotten a nomination for Entertainer and Male Vocalist of the Year from the CMA, the Country Music Association. Brad Paisley also got it. So he's in direct competition with George Strait for both awards. Let's hear a little bit from the song She Is Everything from Brad Paisley.
She's a yellow pair of running shoes, a holy pair of jeans. She looks great in cheap sunglasses. She looks great in anything. She's, I want a piece of chocolate. Take me to a movie. She's, I can't find a thing to wear.
Now and then she's moody. She's a Saturn with a sunroof, with her brown hair blowing. She's a soft place to land and a good feeling knowing. She's a warm conversation that I wouldn't miss for nothing. She's a fighter when she's mad, and she's a lover when she's loving. And she's everything I ever wanted and everything I need. When I talk about her, I go on and on and on.
All right, that's Brad Paisley. She is Everything, the name of the song. Brad Paisley nominated by the CMA for Entertainer and Male Vocalist of the Year. So this is a good example of some of the country music that comes out of the major record labels. Deborah Evans Price, the Nashville correspondent for Billboard magazine, is with us on the phone from Nashville. Alex Battles, who's the founder of the Brooklyn Country Music Festivals, here in our studio. Deborah, there are Brad Paisley songs that aren't quite as lavishly produced as that one. But that seems to be one of the big differences between, you know, the stuff that comes out of Nashville these days and the sort of smaller circles like in Brooklyn. I mean, were you aware that there was a Brooklyn country scene?
No, I'll be honest. Until I got a call from your producer, I was not aware of the Brooklyn country scene.
Yeah.
But I went on the internet and started hitting the MySpace pages of some of these bands and loved them. Oh, my goodness, Jessica Rose and the High Life. You know, any artist that covers Tammy Wynette's Your Good Girl's Gonna Go Bad, you know, that's great in my book.
Uh-huh.
So,
well,
I mean, this is wonderful music. And one thing, John, that I think is kind of interesting is, although for a lot of artists, getting a major label deal and getting on mainstream radio is the ultimate goal, you know, the internet has leveled the playing field with MySpace and with, you know, CD Baby and all these other outlets for exposing and distributing music. I think these bands can have a very healthy career, you know, and do extremely well without the benefit of, you know, mainstream radio. There's satellite radio. There are a lot of opportunities now.
Right.
To expose this kind of music.
As the indie rockers in Brooklyn have discovered, you know, and I think everybody sees that. But what do you think about country music? What is its appeal to a young, urban, kind of hip crowd?
I think the appeal of country music, whether it's a young, urban, hip crowd or, you know, South Texas, is country music is about real life. Whether, you know, stylistically it's traditional or more poppy-oriented, the lyrics are things that people can relate to. You know, it's about divorce. It's, you know, it's about, you know, struggles. It's about single parenthood. It's all these things. And, you know, they're thoughtful, literate lyrics that, you know, tell the story. It's kind of the soundtrack for, you know, blue-collar America.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, you know, hard-working, hard-living people in Brooklyn, just like there are, you know, in Houston. So it doesn't really surprise me that there's a thriving country music scene in Brooklyn, because really country music is more about attitude and lifestyle than it is geographical location.
All right. Alex, the Brooklyn Country Music Festival will feature 18 bands and a pretty decent helping of, you know, bands led by women or, you know, containing mm-hmm. women. I mean, you know, women are very well represented on the scene. Is that, I mean, did you try to do that in juggling the lineups and stuff, or is it really, you know, appealing sort
nobody
of
wants to see a bunch of
that way?
Nobody just wants to see a bunch of guys. That's really boring. you know, the gals are leading just as good of bands as the guys are, and you know, it's I just try and put on the best show possible.
All right, so tell us who leads Hogzilla.
Hillary Hawk.
All right, this song is called Take That Ride.
You built it up how you were leaving town.
band is called Hogzilla. Take That Ride, and they are part of the Brooklyn Country Music Festival, the fourth annual, starting on Thursday at Buttermilk in Park Slope, and then Friday and Saturday evening at Southpaw, also in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Alex, Brooklyn is known, especially Williamsburg, as, you know, a haven for rockers of various shapes and sizes. Is it hard to get attention and musical respect with a country music festival in the borough?
Well, our fans certainly like it, but in terms of this year's festival is sponsored by Homemade Pie, because we're having homemade pie contests. But it wasn't like anybody was beating down my door and saying, you know, oh, I'm Budweiser and I want to, you know, give you a lot of money. So
right.
It's definitely an uphill road putting on your own country music festival.
And there will be homemade pie.
There will be homemade pie contests, absolutely, every night.
Okay. Alex Battles is founder of the Brooklyn Country Music Festival and leads the band The Whiskey Rebellion. Deborah Evans-Price is Nashville correspondent for Billboard magazine. To the two of you, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, John.
Thanks, John. Enjoyed it.
In a moment, some live music from the Brooklyn-based country music band The Flanks, and still to come, we'll hear punk pioneer Susie Sue. You're hearing her in the background. She joins us to talk about transforming herself again 30 years into her career. This is Soundcheck.
What am I gonna